Site, Jeremy from Kentucky. On Republic Broadcasting Network, please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage, mail your check or money order, payable to RBN. Send that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call in that debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And keep free speech alive for your children and grandchildren. This is your Monday Night Broadcast, running down the news. You know, there's nothing more elusive than a clue that is hiding in plain sight. And what is it that they don't want us talking about? Well, I've got this article on the chemical explosion, the derailed train. Let's get into that before we get into multiple UFO sightings, which I'm sure is very legitimate, am I right? Anyway, Palestine, Ohio, train crash. Getting this. This is in the mainstream media. It's just interesting that you have all of this Chinese balloon and UFO stuff coming out right before this happens. I don't really know what to make of it, but I did. Throughout the day, I did find a little bit more mainstream coverage of it. And I'm not connected to the internet, so I'll pull it up with something else. But there were apparently a lot more toxic chemicals on the train that was derailed in Ohio than originally reported. And I still can't get on the internet. I looked at, so we were talking at work today and we were wondering like what the fallout is. And apparently this stuff is drifting through the air and it's getting into all the way down to like southern Tennessee. I don't know if, I mean, I haven't felt anything. I haven't heard any warnings. But with the government trying to get our minds on UFOs, you know, it just makes me wonder what's going on with this. Of course, I'm having a lot of what about now? All right, I switched to phone internet. So a couple of check Twitter out. Some of the tweets out there. I mean, people are seeing the writing on the wall. Logan tweets: imagine thinking there was actually a flying object the size of a car shot down over Alaska with no real proof. It's all a distraction to pull attention away from the fact that our government just turned small town in Ohio into the next Chernobyl. And then Big Marge, Large Marge, Taylor Green mentioned East Palestine, Ohio is undergoing an ecological disaster because authorities blew up the train derailment cars carrying hazardous chemicals. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if this was sabotage or what. Yeah, more Twitter here. The fact that we aren't seeing wall-to-wall coverage of the vinyl chloride train derailment and explosion in East Palestine is insane. An entire town can't return home. because the water is contaminated, livestock and crops are destroyed, and reporters are being arrested. We got more stuff here. Anyway, I saw an NBC News article on this, so I'm going to try to pull that up. Because all my prep just got completely trashed when my internet just went out. I don't know if that's, let's see, NBC, it was on NBC News. Did you guys hear that? That's me typing. Yeah, let's see what we got. Here we go. 2 hours ago, NBC News. Worried residents near Ohio train derailment report dead fish and chickens as authorities say it's safe to return. If your chickens and fish are dying, I don't know about the safety to return thing. For days, authorities have been telling residents of the area around East Palestine, Ohio, that it's safe to return after a 150-car train carrying hazardous materials derailed. On February 3rd, wow, that was like almost 2 weeks ago. Because February 1st and 2nd is when we got all the ice, right? Ohio Department of Natural Resources said the chemical spill resulting from the derailment had killed an estimated 3,500 small fish across 7.5 miles of streams as of Wednesday. The Wednesday of last week. One resident of North Lima, more than 10 miles from Palestine, told WKBN-TV of Youngstown that her 5 hens and roosters had died on Tuesday, the day before rail operator Norfolk Southern had burned train cars carrying vinyl chloride, a flammable gas. For some people who live near the derailment site, the reports continue to spur fear that they and their animals might be exposed to chemicals through the air, water, and the soil. Kathy Reese says, "Don't tell me it's safe. Something's going on if the fish are floating in the creek." Jenna Gibbons, 39, a wedding photographer in nearby Boardman, Ohio, said she has had a persistent cough for the past week and a half, and she's been drinking bottled water and is uncomfortable bathing in the water from the bathroom. They only evacuated 1 mile from that space, and that's just insane to me, she said. Scrolling on through the article, after the controlled, there was a controlled burn. Right? The Environmental Protection Agency warned area residents of possible lingering odors, but noted that the byproducts of vinyl chloride can emit smells at levels lower than what is considered hazardous. Ohio officials said Wednesday that residents could return home after air quality samples showed readings at points below safety screening levels. The EPA, which is overseeing the air quality testing, said air monitoring since the fire went out has not detected any levels of concern in the community that can be attributed to the incident at this time. EPA classifies vinyl chloride as a carcinogen. Routine exposure could increase one's risk of liver damage or liver cancer. Short-term exposure to high concentrations can cause drowsiness, loss of coordination, disorientation, nausea, headache, or burning and tingling. Hey, that's the side effects from a lot of the drugs that they push on us, isn't that right? East Palestine has scheduled an emergency council meeting on Wednesday to respond to their constituents' concerns. Andrew Walton, a professor of environmental and ecological engineering at Purdue University, said it's possible to the burn created additional compounds the EPA might not be testing for. So these cars crashed, and then they did a controlled burn of it, which I'm assuming that just spread it further into the atmosphere. It's looking like. Walton added that some of the other chemicals the train carried could also cause headaches, nausea, vomiting, skin irritation. In Darlington, Pennsylvania, 4 miles from the accident, managers of the Kindred Spirits Rescue Ranch evacuated 77 of their biggest animals, including a yak, a zebu, and they evacuated them for 2 days. The Ohio Department of Agriculture said the risk to livestock remains low. ODA has not received any official reports regarding the wellness of animals related to the incident, according to their latest statement. The big concern is the water table at this point to see what kind of exposure there has been to these chemicals. That's according to Nick Kennedy, the Bureau's organizing director. Laura Foss, the public information officer for the Columbiana County Health District, said the department began groundwater sampling last week in partnership with the state health department, the state EPA, and contractors for Norfolk Southern. The results haven't come back yet, and she didn't know when to expect them. Anyway, this is kind of huge. Again, I don't know what to make of this. You know, where were the chemicals going? What were they for? I don't know. But the fact that they're pulling out this UFO hoax, like, right at the same time, I don't want to say that that's the purpose of the UFO hoax. I'm sure there's, like, even more, there's an even more nefarious purpose for it. I mean, because this is the same government that said safe and effective vaccines, fair elections, BLM, mostly peaceful protests, and the Ukraine, you know, support the Ukraine. This is the same government, you know, going back, that said Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Madeleine Albright, it's perfectly reasonable to kill 500,000 women and children and old people in Iraq over sanctions. It's worth it. It's totally worth it. Same government, you know, that said we have an interest in Vietnam, and that said Hitler was the bad guy. All of these, the same system is telling us now, don't worry about this chemical crash and controlled burn. Perfectly fine. Don't worry about it. Anyway, on to the UFO hoax. I know you guys are just dying to hear about that. Apparently, four objects have been shot down now. Politico. The U.S. military shot down an unidentified object flying above Michigan on Sunday, making it the fourth airborne object downed by American forces in just over a week. Remember the infamous Chink balloon kicked all this off, right? Defense officials on Sunday night declined to identify what the three objects shot down over the weekend might be, raising questions over the threat that the objects could have represented to civilians across North America. What the purpose of the objects were and why there has been a rash of detections and responses with fighter planes and guided missiles. Keep in mind, if these are advanced UFO ships, we're to believe that the government shot them down with F-16s, like 1970s technology. That's what we're led to believe. Anyway, General Glenn Hanvirk, commander of North American Aerospace Defense Command and U.S. Northern Command, said that he was certain that the initial episode, the downing of a Chinese surveillance balloon off the U.S. coast on February 4th, was clearly a balloon. These are objects. I'm not able to categorize how they stay aloft. The general also declined to rule out any possibility, including whether the objects were extraterrestrial in origin. So the narrative, just by the way, in case you missed it, so the government wasn't really paying attention before, but now that they found the Chink balloon, now they're paying attention. And they're finding all these UFOs that they're shooting down with ancient technology. So yeah, personally, I think all this is a hoax. After the general's remarks, back to the political, a defense official who requested anonymity to speak about a developing situation said, "There is no indication of aliens or extraterrestrial activity with these recent takedowns." In terms of the Chinese balloon, Melissa Dalton, who is Assistant Secretary of Defense for Homeland Security, said that we had a basis in intelligence to know definitely that its point of origin was the People's Republic of China, talking about the Chink balloon. No such certainty exists with the subsequent three objects. So just to catch you up, the four total objects shot down, the first was Chink balloon, and the other three were unidentified flying objects shot down with 1970s technology that they basically used in Vietnam. After the initial episode, NORAD shifted its approach to monitoring the airspace over North America, more closely scrutinizing airspace, including enhanced radar, which may at least partially explain the increase in objects that we've detected. And this all according to Dalton from the NORAD. The latest object was first detected on Saturday at 4:45 p.m. over Canada. It entered U.S. airspace a short time later, eventually falling off the radar over Montana and reappearing over Wisconsin. By that time, U.S. F-16 and Canadian F-18 fighter planes were scrambled to intercept it. One F-16 knocked it down with a Sidewinder missile over Lake Huron, where it likely fell into Canadian waters, Van Herk said. Again, a Sidewinder missile took down an advanced alien technology from another world. None of us believe this. This is all a hoax. Let's get to real news. The states are pushing back on the tranny apocalypse. South Dakota, kudos to the great state of South Dakota. From CNN, South Dakota is set to prohibit nearly all forms of gender-affirming treatment for transgender minors after a proposed law gained sweeping approval through its state legislature. The state Senate passed a House bill banning surgical and non-surgical gender-affirming treatment. You like how they word that? It's not child mutilation. It's not genital mutilation or castration or whatever. They don't say cut off the tits. They say gender-affirming for minors. So this bill was to ban the treatment for minors. Thursday, in a 30-4 vote, again, good for you, South Dakota. The legislation will advance to Governor Kristi Noem's desk. Noem will sign the bill into law, according to the Republican spokesman, what they told CNN. The legislation bars puberty-blocking medications in patients under the age of 18, as well as sex hormones and surgeries related to gender transition. Opponents of the measure say it would be harmful to transgender children and is an intrusion by the government into medical decisions. Get this. So those people who love child trainings and all this nonsense, they say that it's harmful to transgender children. So refraining from cutting off a little boy's testicles or a little girl's boobies, refraining from that is harmful. Just think about that. And called it an intrusion by the government. So let me ask you this. Those leftists that support child mutilation, is it an intrusion from the government to demand that someone be 18 years old to sign a legal contract or to enlist in the military to go fight wars for the Jews? Is it an intrusion by the government to demand that someone be 21 to buy cigarettes and alcohol? Is that an intrusion? I mean, is it an intrusion for the government to demand that you be 16 years old to get a driver's license, to roll a 5,000-pound vehicle 70 miles an hour down a highway? Is that an intrusion? Look, I'm right-wing libertarian at my core. I mean, that's what I grew up, Christian right-wing libertarian. That's my roots. But, like, I acknowledge that it's necessary for the government to intervene in some issues. And all of these issues that I mentioned, like, isn't an intrusion to demand that you be 18 to get tattoos? There are some things that have to be implemented for the good of the populace and to protect children. And so if you're going to say that it's an intrusion for them to be denied, and they're not consistent. Look, we're up on the break already. Back on the other side with news and your calls.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Congress is planning to give the Pentagon a raise. I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system this cold and flu season. I am all for the United States having the largest, most expensive military on the planet, but the Pentagon has failed their financial audits 5 years in a row. In the most recent audit, the U.S. military cannot account for over $2 trillion in assets. Maybe the military needs to spend less time trying to understand white rage and trying to force an experimental vaccine on the healthiest people around and start focusing on protecting our nation and her assets. $2 trillion in lost assets is worth investigating. People need to be fired. I say no more budget increases until the Department of Defense fixes their accounting. If you and I failed 5 consecutive audits, we'd be in federal prison. Just like the rest of government, the Pentagon needs to remember that money and those assets belong to we the people. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
We're back in plain sight, running down the news, taking your calls live on your Monday night drive, 512-248-8252. Topic right now, we're covering the South Dakota legislature that would ban child mutilation. Let's call it what it is. It's not gender-affirming care. It's child mutilation. And they would ban that for under 18. I would say ban it, period. But I just was on this whole thing of libertarianism. I mean, I think a lot of the RBN audience leans toward that right-wing libertarian, less government. But, you know, there is a certain amount, if you have a legit government, I mean, that's the caveat, right? There's a certain amount of government control that's needed to protect people. I mean, the government's job, as designed by God, is to protect our rights and to punish evildoers. And, mutilating children is definitely evil. And so I don't see this as an intrusion. I mean, but it's funny, like, that's how the leftist, that's how, you know, the Jewish dominated establishment that wants child mutilation, just like they did in the 1920s Weimar Republic. That's how they're framing it, to stop children from mutilating themselves. That's an intrusion, and that's the whole thing that this person is pushing. Liz Larson, Democratic State Senator Liz Larson, is pushing back on this. She says surgery's gone wrong or simply not happening in South Dakota. Really, Liz? How about all over the nation, the world? You're taking a sample from South Dakota. Is that even true? I guarantee you we could research and find gender surgery's gone wrong. What about the rate of suicides from these trannies when they get their stuff cut off? and they have that regret and they can't go back. You know, child mutilation, that's a whole different level of abuse. You know, if a child is raped, it's a horrible thing, but they can overcome that with good Christian counseling and they can rebuild their lives. But you can't come back from having your testicles cut off or the mastectomies. You can't come back from that. I mean, that's permanent damage that you'll never be able to reverse. And these little girls that are taking hormone treatments, I mean, they're never going to be able to have children. That is something you don't return from, no matter how much counseling you have. And so this is a much more serious thing. And so, yeah, I don't see this as government intrusion, but like I said, they're not being consistent. They'll totally be on board with the government regulating when you can drink, when you can sign contracts or get a driver's license, but not. It's no holds barred when it comes to cutting off your stuff. So this carpet munching skank, Susan Williams, says, our community is sad. Our community is angry. Worst of all, our community is scared. Williams wrote on a post on her group's Facebook page, the community being the child training and mutilation community. She says, I feel betrayed by the elected officials who are supposed to protect my family that just voted against us. Bitch, the government just voted to protect these children, okay? And it just boggles my mind that people like this actually have a platform like this, Susan Williams, and any opponent to this measure that protects the children of South Dakota. More states are doing this. I got this article from WKMS, Tennessee. If the internet works, it doesn't work, so we're going to go to the phone. Anyway, Tennessee has similar legislation that's going through now. Here it goes, I pulled up. Bill to ban transgender affirming care for minors advances in both Tennessee House and Senate. Again, WKMS, and I listen to classical music on there every morning, but they're a total liberal, like NPR loving, Jew loving commie leftist site, and they're calling this gender affirming care. It is child mutilation. So let's reread the article headline and put the truth in there. A bill to ban child mutilation advances in both the Tennessee House and Senate. That's how it should read. Both the House and Senate in Tennessee have versions of a bill to ban healthcare providers from mutilating children, and it took steps to making it go forward to becoming law, passing handily in the Senate Judiciary Committee on Tuesday and the House Health Committee on Wednesday. The bill not only prohibits healthcare providers from mutilating minors, it also sets up a system, and these are my words there, it also sets up a system for reporting violations to the Tennessee Attorney General. Now we had this, there's already laws in the books in Tennessee, by the way. Vanderbilt was mutilating children under the table, and they got called out on that, and they had to stop. Vanderbilt in Nashville, they have a child's clinic there, a very, very popular child's clinic. And, you know, before the last couple of years, I mean, I would have said it was one of the best children's clinic in the nation. But now I have zero confidence. I have no confidence whatsoever in the healthcare system or in any of these clinics. Any clinic that a physician would violate the Hippocratic Oath and mutilate a healthy body, I have no confidence in them whatsoever. None. Anyway, up on the next break. Back on the other side with more news in plain sight.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Memory, your lamplight is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home. Follow the breeze, just like a summer song. And stay there forever. I try to remember. Come home.
To protect children from being mutilated by mad scientists who masquerade as physicians. He's talking about how the bill prohibits healthcare providers from treating transgender minors. Read that. Prohibits them from mutilating children. SB 1 passed in judiciary on a party line vote of 7-2 with Memphis Democratic senators London Lamar and Sarah Kyle voting nay. So Senator Kyle here is going to weigh in. Of course, a female. Kyle raised questions about the state's role in legislating parental decisions on health care. She says, you could talk to 100 different parents and hear 100 different ways to care for a child. I might not agree with all of it, but it should not be a crime to disagree about the best way to care for our children, according to Kyle, a Memphis Democrat. We're usually about parents' rights. This bill is taking away from parents. Well, you know what? I'll bet Senator Kyle or any of these people would totally be for taking a child away from their parents. They would totally be for state power intervening if the parents refuse the child's, becoming a tranny. I mean, that's happened down in Texas, down in Dallas. The Jeff Younger case. That's a case where the mother wants this dude's little boys to be trannies, and the dad refuses to call them by female names and put them in dresses. And the state intervened and took rights away from the father. Not only that, but the Texas Supreme Court voted that this bitch could take these chicks, these children to California without the father's consent to a state where they could have mutilation done to them as minors, and that she didn't have to provide a forwarding address. So these people are all about state intervention when it serves their narrative and their purposes, you see. So that's what you got to understand when they're talking about, we don't want to interfere with the rights of parents and having health care for their children. They're all about interfering, you know, when the parents want to stop their children from making a disastrous decision that would ruin their lives. So keep all of that in mind. Anyway, let's get on to international news. We've got some Sino-Persian friendship going on here. Let me internet now again. So let me see if I can pull this up on the phone. President Xi is meeting with the president of Iran. And this is just further solidifying this east-west balance of power. President Xi invites Iran's president to China to deepen ties between the two countries. From Russia Today, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi will make an official visit to China next week, according to the Chinese Foreign Ministry. Ibrahim, that's like the Persian version of Abraham, because those dudes are Muslim. Raisi's planned visit will take place between February 14th and 16th at the invitation of Chinese leader Xi Jinping, the ministry announced in a statement on Sunday. The three-day trip will include talks between Raisi and Xi, a joint meeting of the leaders with Iranian and Chinese businessmen, and the signing of cooperation documents between the delegates of the two countries, according to Iran's state-run IRNA news agency. Also reporting on the upcoming visit, United States media outlet Politico said that it's expected to deepen ties between the two political and economic partners that are opposed to the U.S.-led Western domination of international affairs. This is just further proof that we no longer live in a unipolar system where the Jewish-dominated American empire is able to force its will on the world. Those days are gone, and these sanctions the West has imposed on Russia has only turned on them and bitten them. And I mean, you have Saudi Arabia, India, Iran, Syria, Russia, China. I mean, you have all of these countries. You have the whole BRICS thing going on, and this is just a deepening in the divide between the East and West powers. The U.S. is a crumbling empire. It's failing. And since it cannot impose its will upon the international community, I would say we can look forward, unfortunately, to the U.S. trying to impose its will on us, on its citizens. And we see that with the pushing of child trains and all the like. So all the West has done in this whole Russia-Ukraine debacle has strengthened the powers in the East, and it has showed the world that it is no longer the unipolar power that it once was 20 years ago. So there you have it. Anyway, Mike, do you want to weigh in on any of this? Let's talk about the rights of the government imposing, intervening. Are you a libertarian? What do you think about the government being able to stop children from being mutilated? And where is that line drawn? Because we don't want to give the government too much power, because we saw that in COVID. But there has to be a certain amount of protection for the young, for children. Do you want to get in on this? If not, I'm going to go into the next article. In the United Kingdom, people in the UK are freezing to death because of Russian sanctions, while at the same time, they're considering manufacturing weapons in the Ukraine. a tweet from Nexta, the United Kingdom plans to start production of military equipment in the Ukraine. According to the newspaper Telegraph, representatives of the countries are already negotiating about the launch of joint production of weapons and military equipment on the territory of Ukraine. Russia Today, senior British defense industry officials are discussing the possibility of manufacturing weapons and armored vehicles in the Ukraine under a local license. This was reported by the Telegraph on Saturday. Some executives have already visited Kiev to explore options for setting up joint ventures, according to the newspaper. By the way, we are in World War III, whether you want to acknowledge that or not, at least economically. But I mean, the West is just openly supplying Ukraine. Now UK is talking about manufacturing weapons in the territory against Russia. So we're in World War III, and we're just, you know, a button away from this thing going hot. According to the report, the British manufacturers are concerned that their French and German rivals could be the first to seal a deal with Kiev. One executive was quoted as describing the negotiations as a race to put London at the front of the queue. It was also said that such licensing would deal with likely would that a licensing deal would likely require the approval of the British government. The news comes as Ukraine's Western supporters step up their military aid to Kiev amid its armed conflict with Russia. Britain pledged last month to deliver a squadron of Challenger 2 tanks for the first time. Again, upping the ante on all this stuff, right in the middle of World War III. And I'm not saying that to be like there's a lot of fear porn, fear mongering going on. Oh, we're on the brink of nuclear war. There's a lot of people that would say this is all controlled, this is all planned. I think maybe to some extent, you know, these leaders probably do talk, but there definitely is a breakdown. Like I said, the U.S. is no longer a unipolar. The globe is no longer unipolar. The U.S. is not the reigning empire on the globe. And we're seeing the breakdown in real time with the U.S. not being able to implement its will. You know, I was in the Air Force for the better part of 2 decades. And the claim to fame from the Air Force was being able to deploy anywhere in the world in a moment's notice and in days, being able to get troops and equipment to anywhere on the globe. And it's real easy when the U.S. pushes around these Middle Eastern countries like Iraq and Afghanistan, as we saw the war in the Middle East. But not so easy when they come toe-to-toe with two world superpowers like Russia and China. And we're seeing the total breakdown of the U.S. empire and its ability to do these things. So, you know, where do we go from here? A lot of people have talked about China's Belt and Road Initiative. And, you know, look, I do not think China wants to destroy the U.S. I don't even think they want to take us over. People have said, well, they're buying a lot of farmland. Hey, they bought a paper mill, like not only 20 miles from me, the Wycliffe paper mill, they bought that. And they started out salaries at $18 an hour in a town where, you know, you could live on probably 15 or 16. So the point being is that if China's buying stuff up here, I mean, it's for investment purposes. We have been their biggest customer in the West. I mean, why would they want to destroy that? Like, why would they want to spend all the money and energy on invading when they can just simply make money off of us the way that they've been doing? And then my question to the so-called leaders of the West, of the U.S., why would you want to pick a fight with a country that you rely on for almost all of your product? You know, we found that out during COVID, during the shutdowns. I mean, all of our medicine and chips and all of that come from China. If the United States is not going to be isolationist. Like, how could they expect to go toe-to-toe with China and come out on top? All of this over Taiwan? Like, who cares about Taiwan? So we are given the leaders that we deserve. I mean, the leaders that we have are a reflection of the moral decay of this country that has been happening since, I mean, the sexual revolution in the 60s was just the pinnacle of it. I mean, the moral decay started 100 years ago. And we're now seeing the result of that, of the leaders being a reflection of the morality of the people. And it's unsustainable. It's not something that we can keep going. And as we just mentioned in the previous article, states are pushing back against the federal government. Probably we're seeing the disintegration of America. And I'm saying that that's not a bad thing. States breaking away from the federal government. But where do we go from here? Like, how do we rebuild? Like, how do we have a political party that truly represents the populace of America? You know, where do we go from that point once the federal government does completely fall apart, as it is doing in real time? Will the states negotiate with foreign powers independently with no federal government to maintain control? Possibly. So I wanted to cover a couple of articles. We were talking about how, you know, America is not an all-powerful empire anymore that can just force its will upon the globe. I got into a little discussion about the Iraq wars. Somebody who's very, very close to me, he's a young pastor here in Kentucky, and he was also in the Air Force Reserves. He recently separated because he does not see any future in this military. And we were talking about how basically all the wars in the last 150 years have been illegitimate wars, even going back to Iraq. I mean, the first Iraq war was based on a pack of lies, just like the invasion of Iraq in 03, both Bushes. You know, in the first Iraq war, Iraq owed a lot of money to Kuwait. You know, America funded Iraq during the Iraq-Iran war, and Iraq didn't want to pay that back. They invaded Kuwait, and the U.S. turned on Iraq, its former ally. In 03, Iraq wanted to go off of the dollar, and they were inspiring Iran and Venezuela to do the same. And anytime you want to go off of the dollar, that's a perfect formula for getting your country invaded. And we saw that happen, Bush the Jr. Anyway, before I keep rambling on about these Iraq articles from the past, let's go to Vinny in Indiana. I want to go to our call screen and not neglect our callers. Vinny, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Jeremy. Hey, I want to comment on your discussion of the tranny issue. And there's a couple points that nobody in the media makes. If this kid in Texas, who the mother alleges, you know, that he's a girl trapped in a boy's body, okay, if that is true, and so his brain is acting as if it was a female brain, but he's in a boy's body. There's a process called functional magnetic resonance imaging, which they use to diagnose all sorts of medical conditions. You know, they help if there's damage to the brain from like drug addiction and the person's in recovery, is he making progress, Alzheimer's. And they also use it to show people who are, let's say, you know, if they're a pedophile and they're attracted to, you know, children, or, you know, they should be able to show that there are differences in how the male and female brains function, and they should be able to diagnose that. The whole concept of child tranny, there's no medical evidence for this. I mean, it is complete fantasy. And people don't even know that things like this exist that could, you know, I've never seen any case, an fMRI study that showed, oh, here's a case of a female brain trapped in a male's body. I mean, there are some very strange situations where there's like a 1 in 30,000 mutation where someone is born with an X and Y chromosome, but the body's cells cannot metabolize testosterone. And they actually become, they have, the phenotype is female, although they have an X and Y chromosome, but their brains function as if they are completely feminine. And there are several of these cases you can read about. It's called complete androgen insensitivity syndrome. But these women, I mean, these are women. They look like a woman. They have, in fact, they can be hyper feminine in ways that a lot of women would only aspire to. There are women who have this condition that they end up, they are fashion models. There's a woman in Australia. I mean, she's tall. She has very a lovely figure, and she has an extremely feminine voice. And when she speaks, you know, there's none of the trannyisms, the things of the awkward voice, the phrasing that's a dead giveaway of the tranny. No, she is a complete woman, but she has a Y chromosome. I mean, the whole foundations of child trannies is just like England says. I mean, get you believe in child trannies, they can get you believe in anything.
I would say that this phenomenon that you're talking about, and I've not heard of it, could, because like genetically, like you either have an X and a Y and you're a male, or you have two X's and you're a female. So this phenomenon that you're speaking of, like how rare is it? I would anticipate
it's 1 in 30,000.
So it's very rare.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, let's just assume, I'm not sure I'm buying that. I don't want to call you. I'm not calling you a liar.
It's a very well documented and researched situation. I mean, it's understood what happens. But these people are not trannies. I mean, what I'm saying is, they have. If you put them through a study, like I'm saying, if you put up the barrier of study, and you said, well, okay, this person has an X, this person has a Y chromosome, but every other part of their body. Because, you know, what happens when you, if you can't metabolize testosterone, it eventually breaks down into estrogen. That's why guys who take testosterone like TRT, they have to be careful, because if you just take too much of it, you know, you hear about the guys getting gynecomastia. They get, you know, they get boobs and all that sort of thing. So, you know, the endocrinology is really complex, but there's no brain study or endocrinological evidence that these children have this condition. It's complete nonsense.
Well, like I'm saying, like let's take that study for let's just assume all of that's true. I haven't investigated it, and I'm taking your word on that. All right.
Yeah.
That's a very rare thing, just like hermaphrodites are very rare. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about very rare conditions that require, you know, medical scrutiny. We're talking about a trend in like this paradigm that anybody can be a tranny and any child can just decide like what gender they're on. I think you know that. Like I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm the choir here with you, right? And so there may be this very rare condition, but that's not the case in all of it. This is certainly not the case with Jeff Younger in Dallas. I mean,
yeah,
the little boy.
That's a case that has no medical backing. There's no science behind it.
Right. And so what we're seeing here is this concerted effort to just emasculate our young boys and turn our young girls into some sort of freak show. I mean, that's what's going on. And it's affecting the majority of Generation Z. Even the Zoomers that don't claim to be trannies, the majority of them acknowledge, they say, that they believe there's more than two genders. And so what kind of damage has been done here? Like, what can we expect from Z when they take over in 10, 15 years?
And I wonder, like, what's happening in the courts? Because at some point, somebody gave the green light legally to say, okay, if you have one of these botched surgeries, you're not going to, your hospital system isn't going to be bankrupted. You know, I'll get another example. Circumcision in the United States, in states where there's high rates of circumcision, it is, you know, there's a, I saw this document called American Circumcision. He spoke to different lawyers. And, you know, he had, you know, additional, like, hours and hours and hours talking to them, and they make the point, you can have a completely botched male circumcision. You know, which is mutilation at any state, but, you know, particularly botched circumcisions. And it's impossible to take that case to court in, like, New York State, because the Jews completely run it. But in other states where there's very relatively low rates of circumcision, it's because the hospitals don't want to recommend it because somebody back in the past got sued and the hospital lost a boatload of money for a procedure that has absolutely no medical benefit. So somebody, this trans-industrial complex, like that Scott Howard says, somebody has green-lighted this through the legal system, telling these hospitals, you don't have anything to worry about as far as getting sued in court. We got the judge. We got the legal system rigged. Because like this, I remember seeing this guy on like male circumcision. He says, I get cases from all over the country, but I know in certain states I have no chance of getting a benefit from my client. I mean, I don't even do anything to the client because I can't get it through the courts. So somebody has greenlit this in the legal system.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm a little hopeful. I'm trying to be hopeful and optimistic with these states like South Dakota, Tennessee, Kentucky, that have laws now going through the legislature to protect children from being mutilated, holding these hospitals to account. And hopefully, if the hospitals do go ahead and do the transgender mutilation, they'll be able to be sued, and maybe they'll be able to, you know, take them out, and it'll be a deterrent. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I mean, that's I this documentary, they had guys push, and you know, people don't know there's tens of thousands of just absolutely horribly botched circumcisions, but you almost never hear about a case going to court. And it's just impossible.
Do you remember, Vinny, hearing about, I don't know, it was about 5-6 years ago, there was a rash of herpes outbreaks in Jewish infants. I think it was around New York. Because the moholes, the rabbis, yeah, within the circumcision, when they do fellatio on the infant, giving them herpes. Yeah. Like, there should be lawsuits out the yin yang on that, but they won't sue each other, you know, in the Jewish community. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Jeremy. Have a good night.
Thanks a lot, Vinny.
Right.
We're at the end of the show. We've got a big week coming up, Patrick and Jeremy tomorrow. And Friday night, I'm supposed to have Warren Balog from Fash the Nation. He's also a key member of the National Justice Party. He's going to come on the show this Friday and talk about the NJP and sort of how they see the NJP moving. You know, what's their goals for 5-10 years from now? So tune in for that. It'll be a great show. You guys stay classy, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.